bless you this evening. Let's just start, go to prayer, jump right into the next portion of the word. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're grateful we can come tonight, Lord, and to gather with believers. Lord, just a few of us here tonight, but Lord, and we know that you're here, and that's what matters, Father. So we just ask that you would just come and have your way, Lord. We just want you to feel welcome. And Lord Jesus, we want to hear you speak again, Lord. That's the greatest thing I can ask for, Lord, is just to hear your voice. Father, help me to get out of there. Help me, Father, just to yield myself so that you can take control and say what you want said the way you want it said. And Father, the ears that are hearing it, help us, Father. Anoint us, Lord, to recognize and receive what you have for us. We pray for the ones who aren't here tonight, Lord, that you would just watch over them, keep them safe, keep them strong. And Lord Jesus, we just give you the honor and glory, and just the expectations we have are for that you to come and be our God tonight. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you turn your Bible to Revelation 10, we're going to read a few verses in Revelation 10. And I promise you, you've read them many, many times, so they'll be very familiar. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week. Amen. Revelation 10, we're going to start at verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. He said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. He said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You may be seated. Amen. We recognize here, this is when the book is open, and we all know the background over this, so I'm not gonna go into that, but we all know how the Lamb took the book, the only one who was worthy, gave it to the seventh angel who was on earth at that time. He opened it, the seals were opened, and then as soon as the seals were opened, he said, Now go to this angel. And Brother Branham tells us John here was typing the bride. He says, Go to this angel and say, Give me the book. Take the book from him. Now we know this angel, it says, the one who is standing upon the sea and upon the earth. And if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, he says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and he was standing upon the earth and the sea. And Brother Branham said, That is Christ. That was Christ. And so it's the same angel. So he's saying, Go to Christ and ask for the book. Now, it seems kind of strange because he had handed this book, he had opened this book, he had given it to the prophet, the seventh angel, to preach it, but now he's standing there with the book in his hand. So if he had already preached it, if he already gave it to the prophet, the seventh angel, why did he say, go to the prophet and get the book? Ha. Why? Why would he go to the prophet and say, Brother Branham, give me the book. Brother Branham, reveal this to me. Oh, that's the problem, isn't it? Brother Branham can't give you a revelation. He can't give you a revelation now. He could not give you a revelation when he was here preaching. God alone gives you revelation. Why? Because the revelation is the word when it's been germatized. Oh, that makes me happy. It's been brought to life. And there's only one person who can bring this word to life. This is his word. This is his seed. And Christ is the only one who can reveal it to you. He said, you got to go to Christ to get the revelation. You can't go to your pastor. You can't go to your prophet. You can't go to just the book. You can't go to the tape. You have to go to Jesus Christ. And he can reveal it because he puts life in it. And it's his life. And if someone else can give you a revelation, they're putting their life in it. You got a hybrid seed. Better stay away from that person. People say, Brother Branham gave me the revelation. Brother Branham revealed this to me. The seed comes from Brother Branham. You have some weird-looking relationship. Amen. This ain't even what I'm here to preach about, but it just makes me happy anyways. So he goes to the angel, which is Christ, and says, give me the book. He says, okay, take the book. Now, what do you say? He says, now you're going to eat it. What does that mean? You're going to accept what I preach to you. Eat the word. And it's going to be in your mouth so sweet. It's going to be the most amazing thing. It's going to, oh, you're just going to love it. But as soon as you digest it, it becomes bitter. Yes, it does. Here's what Brother Branham said about this. He said, well, get over in the 10th chapter there. The mighty angel proclaimed something. He had a little book that John had to eat. And when he did, he got into his belly. It was bitter. But in his lips, it was sweet. When you have to digest it, then it gets bitter. Everybody's against you. Everybody telling you're a holy royal. You're this, that, or the other. You're off your head. Yeah, that's what happens. When you digest, you take the word and you digest it. And now look, it's not just the doctrine. This has been revealed. You've eaten it. It's not just in your head. And it's producing Christ. People could care less about the doctrine. They just want to argue about it. But when you start producing Christ, it makes them mad. So it's hard to digest it. But when you're testifying of his glory, it's sweetening your lips. That's all. See, when you stand up in a meeting and say, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, but then when you're going through that great siege, it's hard. When you're out there in that great siege, you can testify, and it's sweet on your lips. That's right. That's this book of redemption. So he's saying now, when you get it at first, when you take it down, it's just so great, it's so sweet. God spoke to me, look what he's doing in my life. But then you go start living it a little bit. It becomes bitter in your stomach. Bitterness comes up. Let's turn to Ezekiel. We're going to read another, something of the same, along the same order, along this concept. It's Ezekiel, the second chapter. There's another prophet here, and he had to eat a book. He had to eat a roll. It's a scroll. Let's start at Ezekiel 2:6. God's speaking to Ezekiel. He said, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You know who he's talking about? Israel. The Jews. This is the very one. His very own people who he sent the prophet to. He said, these are your people, and this is what they're like. Boy, things haven't changed. And thou shalt speak my word unto them, whether they hear it or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So he said, now, here, I've been giving my word to my children, the children of Israel, all this time. Remember, this is Ezekiel, but you can put it in 2015 just as easy. And I've been giving it to them, but they won't take it. He said, don't be rebellious like them. When I give you the word, you eat it. They didn't want the word. They wanted their own religion. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me. And it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Look at the bitterness in that book. And when you have to eat that, it's going to be lamentations and mourning and woe that you got to speak, that you got to live. That's why they didn't want to hear it. People don't want to hear that you're doing bad. People don't want to hear that there's something wrong with their religion. People don't want to hear that judgment is coming. People don't want to hear that you got to straighten up your life. People don't want to hear that you got to make yourself a subject to the ministry so God can use the ministry to speak to you. He said, didn't you say that only God can give you revelation? Yes, I did. And you know how he gives it? Through the ministry he sends. Now, does it always come that way? No, you can get a revelation driving down the car all by yourself. But you know what? If you're not sitting under a pastor who that word came from originally, I doubt you very much you're going to get it. God don't go outside his way of doing things. He is a provided way. Yes, he does. I don't need a preacher. God speaks to me individually. Well, you're the only one in the history of mankind that God doesn't have a ministry for you. A minister. I'm exaggerating a little bit there, but just to make the point. God don't treat you special like you can have it your way. Well, I don't need them. You know, I've heard a brother say, I get mine straight from God. He brings chastening straight to me. Mm-hmm. Show me that in the Bible and I'll be right there with you. It's not the way God does it. It's not in the Message. So he got this roll of a book and he looked at it. It was full of bitterness. Let's keep reading, chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Oh my. Eating the word is so sweet, brother and sister. It is so awesome. Verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and in a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Listen to this. Verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech, of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. So what's he saying? I'm sending you to Israel. I'm sending you to Message believers. But they're going to reject you. What did Jesus say? A prophet's not without honor except in his own country. He said they're going to be rebellious. They're going to be hard-hearted. They don't want to hear what you say because they know you. You're just Ezekiel. You're just saying the same thing I've been trying to tell them for years. Now, if I send you to someplace else where they don't know you so well, they might accept you. Boy, that doesn't change. You see some of the ministers around this message, and they'll go overseas, and they'll have ridiculously successful services and campaigns and, you know, just people being saved and healing and all that. You come back here, and they're like, oh, that's just brother so-and-so. Why? Because we know him too well. We know him too well. Just let brother, you know, a minister come through on Thursday night, like Brother Jewel the other Thursday night, and there's just a different atmosphere. Hey, Brother Jewel's here. Brother Jerry gets up, or Brother Phil, it's like, eh, Brother Jerry, Brother Phil. Why? Because it's the same old thing. It's just human nature. I'm not trying to beat you down about it. It's just the way we are. But then when we start looking at the flesh, now you got something to be worried about. Because if I can't accept you because, well, I know your problems. I've seen what you do. I don't know if I can have confidence in your ministry or not. That's the problem. That's the bitterness of a minister. You have to get up and you know the problems, and yet you still have to call them out. And then you go have dinner with them afterwards. If they will. So he said, Ezekiel, I'm sending you to people who know you. Now, this goes more than just a minister, doesn't it? Look at your families. Look how some of your families treat you. Look at some of your friends treat you. Well, who do you think you are? Oh, you obviously got saved. Now you're a holy, huh? You're holier than me. You're a goody two-shoes. I know you beforehand. Don't try to pull that over my eyes, you hypocrite. A little bitterness there. They'll hate you for no reason. They'll say evil against you for no reason. Because you ate the book. Amen. Now, I've been looking at this. God has had me on this thought for the last couple of weeks, and there was something missing. I couldn't put it together. And it happens a lot like that, and then he kind of drops more and more. But this was like, I sort of see something there, but there's just a huge part missing. And then Sunday happened. And I don't know what it was like for you Sunday. Was everyone here Sunday? I think everyone is here. But it was one of the most amazing services I've sat in ever. Did you scream and shout? Nope. Run around? Nope. Cried a little bit. But the atmosphere and the presence and what God done for me was just beyond words. And afterwards I say, oh, I see what was missing. I had to go through Sunday the church had to go through Sunday so I could put this, preach this tonight. God is so current. He's right up to date. You know it? Because Sunday, it was all honey. Wasn't it? We ate honey. It was sweet. It was for me. If God has ever spoke to me in a service before, he did it Sunday. And so many times when God speaks in a service, it's like, it's just a still small voice where, you know, you just a little whisper. And he said, it wasn't like that Sunday. For me Sunday, I don't know how it was for you. For me Sunday, it was like sitting across the table from someone and being spoon fed. Here, eat this, eat this, eat this. And it was good. The very things I was praying about on the way to church, he just came and nailed it. Brother Jerry didn't know what I had prayed about. But God did. And it was awesome. It was sweet. And we had a wonderful service Sunday. Now, how come there's like 8 people here then? A little bitterness? Oh, it's so good sometime. I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't care. It's so good in service. And sometime when you have a great service on Sunday, you think, boy, Thursday's gonna be rough. Why? Because it's bitter to go out and live this. Because after that wonderful atmosphere, you got to go out and be in the world. And you got to be out in that atmosphere and all this darkness and everything around you. And you're just struggling and one thing going on. You think, I remember having such a good time Sunday. And here I am just like all beat down. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've experienced this? I want to ask you something. Do you realize if this is what you have experienced, you are fulfilling this word? Ain't that amazing? We can look at the Bible all the time. Malachi 4, Brother Branham. Revelation 10, 7, Brother Branham. Revelation 10, 10. You. 10, 9, 10, 10, 10, 11. Oh, that's the bride. Yeah, it's the bride. Now, is that a doctrine to you or is this a reality? Are you living this? Do you dare? Do you dare point at that and say, that is me in the scripture? You say, well, Brother Phil, I would, you know, once I, oh boy. Do you see yourself in the word? Do you see it happening through you? Did you experience the eating the word on Sunday that was just as sweet as honey? Do you experience that? Has it been bitter since then? Oh. Sometimes our problem, brother and sister, is we are just afraid to take a hold and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Now, let's go further on that. Why? Because Satan has a pile of evidence mounted up. And every time you want to take a step out on the word, he taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, you remember this? Oh, yeah. I am weak. I do have struggles. I do have problems. I haven't overcome this. I haven't overcome. Man. And every time we hear a message like that, and we're ready to step out and say, this is me, this is what. And then he taps you on the shoulder and says, buddy, don't be a hypocrite. Remember all this? You ain't overcome that yet. You haven't overcome that, and you're going to go out and start blowing your horn like you're some kind of big, strong Christian. He's got a pile of evidence, a mountain of it, and all your friends and family keep reminding you just in case he forgets. It's true. They love to rub your face in every time you make a mistake. You know why? Because it justifies them not being here tonight. Well, I see you going on get your bad attitude. Well, I can have a bad attitude without going to church. You sure can. But you're not going to be forgiven for it. You're not going to get over it. So Satan wants you to look at the evidence against you. But what did Brother Jerry preach? I'm going to just get on one thing he preached that just blew me completely out of water. I've heard it preached so many times before. Sunday was my time. My. Talking about that woman. She wanted to know if she was born again. And Brother Branham said, you know, he was pointing out the evidence that she was actually. She said, but I make so many mistakes. And what did he say? Stop looking at yourself. It's that simple. Stop looking at yourself. Because that looking at yourself is you have this whole pile of evidence. If I look at this body, this person, this mind, I say I have all the evidence in the world that, man, Brother Phil, you are headed for hell. Have you ever, I've been in this place so many times over the years. I look at all the evidence that says I'm born again, and I look at all the evidence that say I'm not born again, and I'm sitting there like, God, I don't know. You been there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I say, God, I have to know. I have to know that I know that I know. You have to have that revelation. That's something that is so solid in there. You have to. And yet it's by faith. And I say, God, this proves by what the prophet said, by the Bible, this proves I'm born again and Satan's over there. And this proves you're not. I know I'm talking to people who know what I'm talking about. And you know what I heard Sunday? He said, you're looking at the wrong thing. God was not the one reminding me of all my faults all these years.
Amen.
Satan was.
Amen.
Now, here's the problem. Here's the question. Am I a believer? Because if I'm a believer, then what God spoke to me, I'm going to take that against all the rest of the evidence Satan has. It's called looking at the unseen. Because God has a mountain full of evidence over here. He says, why don't you look at my evidence? What is the evidence? It's the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He says, stop looking with these natural eyes and start looking by eyes of faith. Because there's a whole mountain says that you are born again, you little crybaby. What are you looking at? Look with eyes of faith at the unseen. That's all he's ever wanted us to do. And so I say, yeah, I'm going to do that. And you know what Satan says? Yeah, but remember, you'll be back. You haven't overcome this. You haven't overcome this. You still have a problem with this. You still have a problem with this. Look at this. Look at this. And I say, I'm not even looking at you anymore. He says, you know you're going to stumble and fall. Yes, I am, because that's what the prophet said. Not because you said it. But Brother Branham said, he said, you're going to make mistakes. Quit looking at it. Quit looking at yourself. Look to faith. Look to the evidence that God has already put in place. And when I look at all the evidence God's done for me, I says, there's no way I'm going to miss heaven. He loves me too much. Look at this. Look at this. He says, you're going to make mistakes. Don't worry about it. I'm going to forgive you. What kind of love is that? Oh, my goodness. He loves me so much. He says, yeah, you're going to be a reproach to me. You're going to be an embarrassment to me. You're going to cause all kinds of problems. You're going to have this mistake and that mistake. I've already forgiven you. You're justified. That's love, brother and sister. When I think of that, I have a friend, you know, that friend, they keep hurting my feelings or insulting me or doing whatever. I say, yeah, I forgive you. Yeah, I forgive you. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to run out of patience. But he doesn't. Why? Because he knows the desire of my heart. That's what he's looking at. I'm looking at my faults. He's looking at the desire of my heart. Now, why don't I take his mind and start looking at the desire of my heart? But here's what happens. We hear that word and say, stop looking at yourself. And our attitude is, I'm going to do that, Brother Phil, just as soon as fill in the blank. When I overcome this one thing, then I'm going to be able to do that, Brother Phil.
soon as, or when this happens, or that. He said, now. Now, quit looking at yourself. Quit judging yourself by your mistake. But start looking at the Word, what the Word says about you. Look at the unseen. And I want to do that, Brother Phil. And just as soon as, but you don't understand. When you take that butt, when you put that butt in there, it makes you an unbeliever. It makes you a doubter. That's sin. That's why you go out and do those things, brother and sister, because you're not believing. He said, don't look at that. Look at the Word. And yes, I'm trying to do that. And just as soon as, you just don't understand yet, I still have this problem. And you're going to keep having that problem until you take him at his word. You know why we have these problems, brother and sister? It's because we still look at ourselves too much. We're still too much in love with this. It's true. Because we don't really, really believe that he really could be that good to us. Ain't that amazing? After all that he's done for us, we still can't hardly believe he really means it when he says he's going to forgive us. That we're justified. But God, don't you see all my problems? Well, I do until you repent, then I don't. And it makes us a make-believer. Look, there's hundreds of thousands of people in the world who believe this Bible is absolutely true. There's hundreds of thousands of people in the world who believe the message of the hour is absolutely true. They would lay their life down and die before denying that God sent a prophet, that the message is true. And yet, in God's eyes, they're make-believers. Why? Because when he speaks to them personally, they don't believe it. Ain't that amazing? If God spoke to you Sunday like he spoke to me, and if I go out of here and say, I want to believe that God, but man, I got so many problems. You know what that makes me? A sinner. It makes me a make-believer. Because I claim to believe the message, but when the voice of God speaks to me, I don't believe it. But I'm just trying not to be a hypocrite. Oh my goodness. Why, your pride is too much? But I feel, Brother Phil, I have so many problems, I make so many mistakes. If I claim this, then I will feel like a hypocrite. Which part of Sunday did he say to go by your feelings? He never said anything about feelings, did he? No, he didn't. I don't care if you feel like the biggest hypocrite in the world. Do you believe it? Amen. I tell you what, you want some bitterness? Go out and believe this and claim this and then go make a mistake and come to church the next day and praise God anyway. You talk about your feelings of bitterness in your spirit because you're going to feel like a hypocrite. And Satan's going to be jumping, dancing on the top of your head. Look at you. You're acting like you're a Christian. You're praising God like you didn't do something horrible yesterday. Look at you, hypocrite. And you're there singing out as hard as you can anyways. Why? Because you're taking God at his word. And God said, that's my child. Not going by his feelings. He's not looking at his flesh. He's not looking at what he's done. I feel like a hypocrite. Good. Swallow that bitter pill. You should feel like a hypocrite if you're doing that. Do it anyways, because you're a believer. Well, that's not the way I think it is, Brother Phil. Nobody asked. This is what the Word says. You know, one of the things I found out for myself, I had to get a completely different perspective what it means to be born again. I need a whole different perspective what it means to be Christ-like. I need a whole mind change from when I started 20-some years ago about what it means to be a Christian. Yes, sir. It's good to change my mind. Because my ideas was prison. It was a prison of legalism.
So, I'm going to try and shut down, try and get us home early. See how this goes. When you look at the unseen, what do you see? When God says, quit looking with these natural eyes, look with spiritual eyes. Look at the word. What does the promise say? Look towards the unseen. What do you see? Because when you're looking at the unseen, it's impossible to look at my flesh. It's impossible for me to look at your flesh. And when I look at the unseen, I have to admit the things God is doing in my life and in your life. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do is just be honest and just admit this, God is really doing this because there's so much evidence against it. Oh, that battle rages, doesn't it? Sunday, as I was out there in the parking lot, I mean, I had already had an amazing time. And someone walked up to me and said something, just like a sentence, and kind of walked away. And I thought about that. And Tuesday, I was pondering what they had said, and it just fell into place. It's like, wow. I wonder if they knew that they were speaking because God put that on their heart to say that. And it took everything else that I was seeing already and just put it all in place. I thought, man, person's not a minister. But God used the person to speak. It's amazing the way God does things. You say, well, why didn't he say that in church through the pastor? I don't know. Maybe he wanted to give this person a blessing by using him. I don't know. God does it the way he wants. But brothers and sisters, sometimes it's hard just to admit to ourselves how God is changing us. To look at the good he is doing. Look at what I can't see with these eyes, but I see the difference. Let me give you an example. Character. One of the things that personally I love in character more than anything else, one of the very best, the things I like the most, is humility. Because I am not a humble person. I've never been a humble person. And when I see real humility, Christ-like humility, I just love that in a person. I'm not talking about this put on humility kind of stuff. The Amish, I think, are the best at living humble of anyone I've seen. You get around them and they just seem so humble. I'm serious. Great to be around them. But if it ain't Christ-given humility, it's just a facade. It's put on. Brother Branham, he was talking about, I think we preached on this couple months ago, how you have nature-given strengths. You have nature-given love, nature-given humility, nature-given compassion, whatever these. He said, that doesn't even count. That's just nature-given. That's not Christ. Now, if you can yield that to Christ, you know, fine. But I have seen something in me over the last several months that there's no way I do it. It's humility. I am becoming humble. Ain't it funny I'm bragging on being humble? And yet, if I'm going to be honest with myself, I see that happening. And it's hard for me to admit it. But I've been in situations in the last several weeks or so where someone has said something that I used to, it would hurt my feelings, or it made me sass back, or I just lash out, I'm going to say something back to defend myself. I'm very important to me. I have to defend myself. You're not going to say that. You're going to respect me, boy. And I have someone to say, and I just find myself standing there smiling. And my thought is like, it ain't worth it. Why would I lose my goal? Why would I get all upset about something like that? It's not worth it. And then I'm thinking, that ain't Phil. Someone says something and I just smile and like, well, I can't do that.
excites me, brother and sister. That ain't me. Well, then who is it? But it's so small sometimes. Because today, something happened. I was leaving Knoxville. I stopped for lunch. And something happened at the restaurant. I was getting some food to go. And I was just all ready to just tear someone's head off. Like, how dare you treat me this way? I didn't say much. I just, didn't say anything like chew anyone out. I walked down and said, got in the car driving down the road. I said, man, Phil, you feel so nasty now, don't you? You feel dirty. What did you do? I allowed that attitude to rise up in me. I said, you're better than this. You've overcome. This isn't you anymore. Oh, that's good to know. Is this making sense to anyone? Anyone relate to this? That's looking at the unseen, brother and sister. And someday, hopefully, someone else will see it in me too. But you're going to see it in yourself first, probably, and it might be very small, and you're almost going to ignore it a few times. But then it's going to start becoming more and more. Why? Because you quit looking at the flesh. You start looking at the promise. You start looking at faith. Look at all the evidence God has in your life. Look what God has done in your life. Look at the evidence. How do you still have a sane mind? So when I look at the unseen, I look up in front of me, I say, what do you see, Brother Phil? Let me ask you, when you look to the unseen, what do you see? What is God doing among us? I tell you what I see. I see a battered, bruised, scarred body. Weary soldiers. But there's a strength among in this body. There's a beauty of character that just awes me. And sometimes I stand and I think, how do they do it? Because it's beauty it's the beauty of that lovely one, that song we sing, that lovely one coming in plain view. And when I look to the unseen, I see him standing there. But it's a he, it's a she, it's a bride. And it's a character that makes the sun hide his face and makes the flowers bow their heads and look away because it's so beautiful. It's stronger than the mountains. It's as strong as the Rock of Ages. And it's in this little broken body. That's what I see. I see a character that can only be Christ. And 8-9 people show up and it's right there. And if 30 people showed up, it's right there. Because why? Because they know what it is to eat and that sweet word. And they know what it is to digest it and walk through the bitterness too. And when the bitterness is too much for them to bear and they can't go any further, there's one that picked them up and carried them even though they couldn't tell what was happening. How do you know? Because they're still here. It's a beauty that this world can't touch. And the world looks at us and say, what a offbeat, off-scarring bunch of nobodies you got here. And I look at it and I say, but aren't they beautiful? Have you seen the way they treat each other? Have you seen how they believe God? Have you seen the way they worship? Have you seen them go through hardships and trials? Yeah. That's what I see when I look at the unseen. Now, if I turn my eyes back around and use these and I look at it by flesh, I think, what a bunch of, I don't know what we are. I mean, you talk about misfits. We don't fit in anywhere, folks, except here. Feel at home right here, don't you? You feel at home. You know what I'm talking about. This is not some doctrine I'm preaching. I'm preaching your life. You can look in the mirror and you say, yeah, he's exactly nailed. This is exactly what I'm going through. Yes, sir. Then I dare you go ahead and admit that beauty of Christ is in you too. See, I'm not a beautiful person. I ain't talking about physically. I'm talking about the character that's being molded in you. It's the very character of Jesus Christ. He said, well, if it's his character, he's a he, then how can he become a she? Oh my God, glad you asked that. Because how does she become he? There's only one way. There's a uniting going on, brother, sister. You've been married. And he's given you his seed. And he's the only one who can give you that seed. Brother Jerry, brother Phil, brother Branham, no other person can give you it. Only Christ himself. And when he reveals it to you, that is a germatized word that comes into your soul and it produces the very life and the very character and the very love and faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening. And that's the beauty beyond this world can do. Amen. That's what's happening. I challenge you, look at the unseen. When Satan comes to you tomorrow, when he comes to you tonight on the way home, this weekend before Sunday comes, when he comes to you and points at your problems, and he points at, oh, you're feeling bad, or this is going on, or your family's falling apart, look at the unseen eyes, yeah, say, you have beauty that's beyond anything he can offer me. It's a beauty, it's a strength beyond anything he can throw. He says, but look at my evidence, and I say, my eyes are on a much greater evidence. Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to say something else. If you don't do that, you're not a believer. Ooh. Because he said, the word spoke, and he said, stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your flesh. And if you are going to believe it, you want to call yourself a believer, you are going to, you have to do that. It's not a suggestion. It's not when you get ready. It's not when you feel like an overcomer. It's not when you're having a good day. It's in the lowest time of your life. Quit looking at yourself and look toward the unseen. That's what makes you a believer. You say, yeah, but what if I'm not there yet? What am I supposed to say? He didn't say, if you're not there yet or not. He said, quit looking at yourself. Do that, brother and sister. You want to be an overcomer? Fall in love with what God is doing in you. The new you. Not the, you know, the world says, love yourself. They're talking about this flesh. Pack this flesh. Do everything you want for this flesh. Eat what, you know, do all this stuff. That's not going to get you anywhere you want to be. But brother and sister, you have to recognize that Christ is in you. Do you love Christ? Are you not becoming one with him? You need to love that. Not the old flesh, the new person. Because see what happens, brother and sister, when you recognize what Christ is to you and what you mean to Christ, and you've seen him being formed in you and you love that, you know what happens? You're no longer a slave to other people's opinions. Because I love what Christ has made me, then if you don't like me, that's not my problem anymore. You talk about freedom. My self-esteem isn't based on your opinion. It's based on God's opinion. And he already said I'm pretty awesome. And I ain't talking about this old Phil Bontrager either. No, sir, he ain't nothing but a scum. But I'm going to confess that he is doing this work in my life, and he is making me what the word says I'm going to be. Yes, sir. That makes me happy. I think God liked that. Confess what the word says about. You've heard all this before. There's nothing I've not said, nothing new tonight. But sometimes it's just a word in due season. Be a believer. Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. Said, you're going to have a son. It's going to be through Sarah. He confessed that. He did not consider the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. And Satan said, you're a hypocrite. You claim you're going to be a parent. You're going to be a mom. You're going to be a dad. You're going to have a child. And you can't have it. Look at the evidence. You claim you're born again. You claim God loves you. You claim God's changing you. Look at the evidence against you. Or be a believer and don't look at it. Because Abraham considered not all the evidence against him. God had spoke. He said, I believe. And he went out and walked through some bitterness. In and out, up and down, struggling, failing, lying. And what did God see? Look at my perfect son. Perfect. Well, that was Abraham. Oh my goodness, give another excuse. Are you not Abraham's seed? Abraham wasn't any more spiritual than you. But he was a father of the faith. He was a father, and you're the son. The son and the father are the same. It's just the same, brother and sister. You have the same faith that Abraham had. Don't you? Then consider not the weakness of your flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Consider not the failures. Consider not these things that you've done. Consider not that you are going to make mistakes in the future, as in this weekend, tomorrow, maybe before you get home. You know what happens when you do that? Satan loses so much power over you. He loses so much control. He loses so much influence. Because I'm looking at the unseen, what he can't see, but I can see with eyes of faith. Amen. Consider not the deadness of your old nature. That old part of you that hates God. Oh, I don't know if I love God. Listen, if your old nature loves God, you're serving the wrong God. You are. Because your own nature is an enemy to God. It can't be anything but. That's what the Bible says. So if in your own nature you love God, you're loving the wrong God. Ain't that amazing? But if your new nature loves God, you got something that's real. And it's going to continue to grow. And it's going to continue to strengthen. And you're going to see more and more. And you're going to see that lovely one coming in plain view, walking among you, standing. What's he going to look like? He's going to look like Brother Paul, Brother Jenny, Brother Jim, Sister Joyce, Sister Sue. That's what he's going to look like with these eyes. But with eyes of faith, I'm going to see Christ. Well, how do you know? Because I already do. I want to see him a lot more. And we're going to. How do you know? Because the word is promised. You recognize, you know, the whole pyramid. I'm trying to quit, I promise you. The whole pyramid, right? From the early church all the way up, and it gets narrower and narrower until at the very top, what comes down? The capstone comes down and caps it. But you know what that has to be? Right there where the capstone meet it, it has to be exactly like the capstone. So there's no bubble, there's no schism, it's just perfectly smooth. Well, brother and sister, if you're a believer, a bride, part of the bride in this end time, you are that last little bit that the key comes, sits down, and you're not going to be able to tell the difference. I said you're not going to be able to tell the difference between him and her. That's your inheritance. That's good enough to go home on. Let's stand. Tell you what, I feel good. I ain't going by my feelings, but it's a spiritual feeling good. Amen. I believe that
this is true. My, I had quite a week, I have to tell you.
It wasn't very bitter this week. It was good. Next week might be completely different, but I've been walking into, it changed me. Sunday service changed me. It made a difference. And it wasn't just a bubble. It wasn't just an emotionally, I feel good after that. No, sir. It was revelation. Jesus Christ sat there and talked to me right through the voice of Brother Jerry. I'm a different person. And that's good. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for what you have done. You are continuing to do, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just ask that this word that was spoken tonight, let it be a continuous encouragement, Father, as we go through these next coming days. And Lord, just help it to lift us up and keep us in realms of faith so that we can come Sunday morning to church, Lord, just as it were on a spiritual high, Lord, just expecting more, Lord. Help us to look towards you constantly so that when the devil comes and tries to drag us down, Lord, we won't even pay attention. We just constantly look towards you. So we can come here just expecting more, Lord. We get what we expect. And if we're expecting to hear from you, Father, we will hear from you. It's your promise, Lord. We just want more of you, Father. That's all. It's the greatest thing, but it's all. We just want more of you. Father, we look around this world and it's completely burning up. It's gone totally insane. How much longer can we go before everything just collapses around us? And Father, yet when this is going on, I see a light shining brighter and brighter. It's brighter than the sun. It reaches higher than the stars. It goes to the lowest depths of hell. And it calls us. And it draws us. And it lives through us. This is our inheritance. The inheritance of the bride of Christ. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much. Lord, we're here as believers. Help us then to continue as believers. Yes, this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.